Well, hey, good morning. It's a nice little intimate kind of group here this morning. You guys are more the left wing of the church, over here on the left, the Democratic wing. Where are all the Republicans this morning? Steve's the only and Mark. Of course, Mark is a Republican. That's like cussing to call him a Democrat. But let's not get into politics, shall we not? But, well, hey, it's nice to have a chance just to be able to share with you one more time this morning. For those of you who don't know, and probably everybody knows, but maybe if you don't, but this is going to be Elizabeth and my the Milton's last semester here in Radford and on staff with NLCF. And, you know, for the last few years, we just have wrestled with the decision of what we're going to do next and looking at a career change. I've been in campus ministry for about 8 years now. And so this past semester after, you know, I took my time making the decision, about 3 years, but after a lot of counsel and prayer, we finally decided we're going to move to Lynchburg. I'm going to work with my dad, and he builds houses. He has his own construction company, so I'm going to kind of be the apprentice with him and learn how to do that and potentially take over his business down the road. And so we'd be happy if you guys have any more questions or thoughts about how we came to that decision or what that means. Just let us know. We actually did. No, we didn't. Thought about it a few times, but you know, the decision is real huge for us, especially for me, because I don't like change. I grew up in the Lynchburg area and actually lived in the exact same house just about my whole life. And then after I made a huge change and came to college here at Radford, I've stayed here for 14 years. I've been in Radford for 14 years now since I came as a student. And, you know, although, you know, real excited to begin a new job and work with my hands and learn how to build a house and that sort of thing, Elizabeth and I are just very sad to leave the town of Radford. We love it, but also our church and a community of friends that we have with NLCF. And NLCF is the only church I've been a part of ever as a Christian, because I became a Christian during my senior year here at Radford. And have been a part of it ever since. You know, I became a Christian through NLCF and have never left. And Elizabeth's story is very similar to mine. She's been a part of NLCF at Blacksburg, at Virginia Tech, and also here at Radford for a while. But so job-wise, our decision is real exciting. But in terms of leaving this community, it's sad. It's tough for me. It's even tougher for Elizabeth. And I just want to say that she's demonstrating just an amazing character and faith, and her willingness to follow her knucklehead husband off to Lynchburg, Virginia. So, kind of, you know, making this decision is one thing, and then kind of beginning to walk in it for us has been another thing. It's interesting, you know, we received an offer on our house yesterday. We've been waiting for that for a while. So that's good news, but it just makes kind of everything seem a little bit more real. A little bit more final, kind of every step that we kind of take in the decision. And so I just wanted to take an opportunity just to kind of remind you something we've realized, that, you know, as we've walked into this decision, something that we have often took for granted, and maybe it's something that you take for granted often too, but that is that we are part of something very unique and something very special. You know, I just want to tell you that what you have here with NLCF may appear to be small and not much to write home about sometimes, but you're going to have a very difficult time finding a group of people who love the Lord and genuinely desire to follow Him like you have here at NLCF. And you're certainly going to have a hard time, I think, to find genuine Christ-like servant leadership like you have here at NLCF. You know, NLCF is certainly not without its problems. It's, you know, there's lots of great churches in the world, but the leadership that you guys have with Ryan and Lisa and Steve and Amy and Jonathan and Rosie and others is just it's just great. You know, it's very genuine. People who love the Lord, and certainly they could be better in all kinds of things, but you're going to have a hard time finding that. And Elizabeth and I are realizing that, you know, we're going to have to look for a church. We've never had to look for a church. You know, the church kind of found us. But we're just trusting God. I appreciate your prayers as we look for a new community to be a part of, because that's very important to us, and it should be very important to you as well. But I think it benefits us oftentimes to be reminded of some truth about the church from the scriptures. We often hear the word church, and we think about like a building or an institution. But in the Bible, the church is a community of people who follow Jesus together. It has nothing to do with an institution or building whatsoever. That's what, the way we're used to thinking about it. You know, Jesus compared the kingdom of God to a mustard seed, and I think we can say the same thing is true about the church, even ours, because the church is certainly a part of the kingdom of God, and that even though it's small, it's packed with a lot of potential because of God. You know, in Ephesians 5, Paul writes about Jesus is so, he cares about the church so much and is so committed to it that he gave his own life for it. You know, as we try to, you know, we really have our work cut out for us as we try to live out a real faith in Christ in our world today. Because when you combine our own sin and our own laziness with the American culture, good luck to you. That's what I have to say. That's why, you know, what we are a part of as a community like this and other communities that really are trying to follow Christ is so important to us. I like what the author of Hebrews has to say. There it is. The author of Hebrews, whoever he or she was, we don't know, but says, without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. I don't know if you've ever taken time to read the whole book of Hebrews. It's a great book. You know, I found towards the end of last semester, I just, you know, read it like two or three or four times. I was really getting a lot out of it. But basically, if I could sum up the book of Hebrews, the message is to hang in there, to help and encourage each other, and that your faith will pay off a million more times than you realize right now. So, that's an awesome verse, and Elizabeth and I just have been very blessed to be a part of NLCF. We feel like just our years, even on staff, we're leaving very equipped to go into the real world to be a Christian and to continue to follow Christ. As hard as it will be to leave, we feel like this has been a great training and equipping for us. And one of our greatest privileges over the years to have been a part of just kind of the broader community that NLCF is a part of, Great Commission Ministries, some other campus churches and community churches and people that we've met. And it's been a real privilege of ours to have been a part of the LT program over the years. You guys have heard us talk about LT before, lots probably, but I don't know if I've ever taken a chance maybe to share some stories and show you some pictures, so that's what I'm going to do a little bit this morning. But LT, for those of you, I think everyone probably knows about it. It's leadership training. It's our 10-week-long summer program that we do. We go away, we work jobs, we do a lot of stuff together, get a lot of great teachings and experience together and that sort of thing. But, you know, Elizabeth and I have, I don't know, I think if you put it all together, we've each done maybe 7 LTs, something like that. If you count the one we did in Blacksburg 1 year, you don't really count that though, because we didn't go anywhere, we just stayed here. But, I know we hear, you know, maybe you can wonder, like, who exactly is LT for, because it mentions the word leader. And I think the word leader can oftentimes confuse us, at least it does me. I've talked about that before, but I think we can kind of maybe struggle to come up with a good definition of leadership. But I had a little fun at Steve's home group the other night with a few guys. We just were talking a little bit about this and kind of brought up the question of, like, I mean, if you think of someone who is a leader, or maybe a spiritual leader today, who's someone that comes to your mind? Billy Graham, all right? What's his occupation? Evangelist, great. And who is someone else that's a spiritual leader? Pat Robertson. Amen, brother. What's his occupation? Televangelist. He's kind of a doctor, financial guy. He does all kinds of stuff, but... Who else? Anybody else? Any other spiritual leaders come to your mind? Me? What's my occupation? Missionaries on staff. Anybody else? Spiritual leader. Huh? Who's that?
It's that guy. He's like real positive. Like his messages are always like really.
Oh, okay.
Really positive.
What's similar about the people that are coming to our mind? What are all their occupations? They're in full-time ministry somehow, right? Well, how about this? Who are some spiritual leaders from the Bible? Moses, what was his occupation? Yeah, he was born in... Yeah, and then he moved away from Egypt and tended sheep for a long time. So he was kind of a royal guy, but then he got kind of exiled away. So he was a shepherd for a long time. Who else is a spiritual leader in the Bible? Jesus, what was his occupation? Carpenter, as far as we know. David, what was his occupation? What's that? Shepherd, and then he went into politics. That's right. Anybody else from the Bible? Paul, in the New Testament, what was his occupation? He was a tent maker. And what do all these people have in common with their occupations as spiritual leaders? They're not in full-time ministry. So I think we have a real warped view of your leadership to where we see leaders are people who are in the church in full-time ministry, and I'm something else. But in the Bible, it's backwards. Like, spiritual leaders do all kinds of things, have all kinds of jobs, but they're leaders for God in the things that they're doing. And so I just, basically, when I ask the question, who is LT4? There we go. I just say that LT could be, but LT is for you because anyone can be a great leader for God in the unique way that God has designed them and in the specific place that God has placed them. The things that you would learn at LT and experience at LT are 100% transferable to whatever and wherever God calls you. And it's really hard to describe LT. You know, there's all kinds of elements that combine to create a summer-long environment for spiritual growth. And check this out. I don't know if you guys can see this that well. Maybe can someone cut the lights out so that our pictures come up a little better? But this is this little dude at work, if I roll it around? This is my first LT in Myrtle Beach in 97. Here's me right here. Let's see, some of you, there's other people in this picture that were there, Jim Pace from Virginia Tech. There he is. Some of you have heard of J.R. Woodward. He's a pastor that founded NLCF. It's him right there. He's in Los Angeles now. That's Katie. She's in Blacksburg on staff, and Jeanette and Laurie. And who else would you know? Some of you know Mike Swan, Corey, Scott Davis, Dave Williams, Chris Dorsey, Kevin Cheslikowski, all kinds of folks. This picture is interesting. It's like maybe 20 or 30 people, but a lot of the people wound up either going on staff or on CF, or if they didn't, they really, this LT was very, had a lot of influence. But LT kind of started for me. You know, I graduated from college and decided to go, and the program that summer cost maybe $1,400. And I raised, it was my first experience of raising support, like sending out letters and, just kind of trusting that God would, because I didn't make a lot of money at that time. I told you last week I worked at Hardee's and made $90 a week. So just kind of trusting God to provide that, and all the support came in. It was really kind of cool. This picture is taken at that beach house that we lived in. It was right across the street from the beach, actually Surfside Beach, south of Myrtle. And it's broken into four apartments. The girls lived upstairs in two apartments, and the guys lived downstairs in two apartments. And we'll do a little math lesson. In my apartment, on the downstairs level, there were eight guys. We're going to divide everything by two here for you math majors. Four beds. There are two bedrooms, one bathroom for 10 weeks. That's an environment for spiritual growth. Or an environment for other things, however you want to look at it. No, they weren't big bedrooms. I would get so, I'm kind of a person, I'm more neat than most guys. I kind of keep to myself in certain ways. And, these guys were just normal guys. And, so that was a guy really worked a lot on my character that summer. One of the things, I kind of, when I guess I wake up or I'm trying to get ready, I don't like to chat much. But Chris Dorsey, I don't know if you guys know him. He's a very Filipino, warm kind of guy. And I would be like showering in the morning. He would come right in the bathroom. Of course, we have one bathroom. He'd be like, "So Todd, what'd you think of that teaching last night?" I think, "I don't want to talk to you right now, man." It's like, I'm like getting taking a shower. But anyway, He also threw up in our kitchen sink that summer. So. Yeah. God help him. I'm not saying if you go to LT this summer, this is what your housing is going to be like, but it might be. I worked at Farmer Jack. Have y'all ever heard of Farmer Jack? It's a grocery store in the South that's owned by A&P. And that was an interesting job. It was in Pawleys Island. It actually shut down. The grocery store closed. And it was very depressing. Like, we had to close the store that summer. We saw the shelves empty. It was like, it was pretty sad. JR, the guy that founded NLCF, he's like, if you ever go to any kind of GCM conference, he's the big speaker. He's a real great guy. But he was our project leader. I got to spend a lot of time and really see JR's life up close and personal that summer. So you really, LLT, really exposed to some leaders. We did a lot of what we call cold turkey evangelism, which we just go up to people on the beach or on the pier with some kind of contrived survey. We weren't doing research of any kind, but it was just, we were just trying to get in conversations with people to try to share our faith with them. Something like that really is not for the benefit of them. I mean, God could use it maybe to help them, but it's mostly for the benefit of the person doing it. It helped me kind of learn how to share my faith and not be scared of bringing up stuff like that and kind of develop a lifestyle of a missionary. LT, sometimes instead of leadership training, will stand for lots of trials. You imagine a roommate situation like this and all kinds of things can come out. You know, it wasn't by far, by any stretch of the imagination, a mature Christian or a mature person back then. And God, I think, worked a lot in my life in that way. You know, there's teachings I heard at LT that I still remember. But the bottom line, my first LT was just a summer-long experience that really has helped to shape my life. And, you know, we went a couple years later to LT in Myrtle Beach again in 1999. And that was a fun summer. I lived. I was on staff with GCM at that point. I lived with six staff guys from different campuses, and I debated whether I should tell this story. But Elizabeth said I should. But one of my roommates, he was from Bowling Green. He was on staff there. His name was Mike, and this guy, he was very sincere. Like, as a Christian, he shared his faith with over 100 people that summer. It was amazing, but he was very much a practical joker. So I lived with him, a few other guys, and then there was this one guy from Florida named Jay, and he's a very drill sergeant, straight, I'm going to keep this house in order kind of guy, I'm not going to joke around much kind of guy. So I got a practical joker and this kind of guy. He did tons of practical jokes, but the one that stands out in my mind is the funniest. I hope it's not offensive to tell you this, but anyway. We had a loft. And, you know, downstairs area and the upstairs area was open. There was a bathroom up there and a bedroom. And he filled up, like, several gallon milk jugs with water and just kind of set them in the bathtub. And we were eating dinner one night, and he runs up and just like, man, I got to go to the bathroom, excuse me. And so he goes up and kind of leaves the door open. That's kind of what guys do. And so he's not using the bathroom, but he's taking this milk jug and pouring it in the toilet for like a minute. And he even starts it and stops it, like, you know, to create like a real effect. And we're just sitting down. Of course, I knew what was going on, but, you know, the rest of my guys didn't. And I'm just sitting there like, man, this guy's like, whoa. And so he comes back down and he's dinner with us a little more. And then he's saying, oh, I got to go again. Like a few minutes later, and he goes up and grabs another milk jug and does it again. And finally, like, this guy who's just really serious is like, man, something's wrong with you. We got to take you to the hospital. And it's just like, he was a pretty funny guy. That was a lot of fun that summer. That summer, you know, it was neat. One of the staff guys taught me a lot of stuff about sound equipment that summer. There was a girl there that I was kind of sweet on that summer, which was kind of cool. I think this is this picture from, hey, Elizabeth, is this from 99? Let's show you here. This is Elizabeth. And who's this guy right here? That's Ryan. Isn't that cool? I don't know if there might be other people in there you notice, but anyway. That's me that summer. Long hair, hippie kind of guy. Who's this guy? That's Jonathan. That summer. And this is from LT 2000 at Myrtle Beach also. We lived at a place that had alligators that summer, and I'd be going on a prayer walk or something, and oh, gosh, better turn around. You had to kind of watch out for him. There's my girlfriend from that summer. She was a girl I was sweet on the year before. She was in charge. You guys know what these white things are sitting on that table? Tapes. Y'all ever seen one of them? But all the teachings, you know, we put them on tapes back then instead of MP3s or whatever. So Elizabeth was in charge of the tapes. This is from LT 2003 in Colorado. There's Steve, and there's Willis. There's Willis and Elizabeth, and they're drinking root beer, by the way. There's Elizabeth and I in Colorado hiking. That's Elliot. Elliot was in Colorado in 2002, but he was in the belly. In 2003, there he is. I can't believe how little he is. And that's the whole family there last year. We got to go back out to Colorado last year. And so this summer, you guys are going to get to do LT, for those of you who go in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's the first time we've done a program there. Matt's from Wilmington. Says it's a neat place. So that ought to be really cool. But at each LT, you know, we meet students and staff from all kinds of campuses and all kinds of places, and they just become, you know, friends and sources of encouragement for us in our life. And, you know, you just see people who don't live here in Radford, but they live who knows where, and they're serious about following Jesus and impacting their communities. And I wanted to see, Elizabeth had, you know, maybe wanted to share a couple things about her experience at LT. She's back there with the kids. So maybe they can. I'll come back with you guys. Is this going to feed back? Nope. Cool. No, you're all right. Hey. Well, I'm going to go back up in a second. Maybe Mark can cut this off. So.
Okay. Gosh, when Todd said I could say a few words about LT, I was like, well, I don't know if a few. Gosh, this is weird. I don't know. Can I just talk? Do I need to use my phone?
We're recording.
Oh, we're recording. Okay. I don't really know if it's possible just to say a few words because it's so life-changing that, I mean, it's something that you could sit down and you could talk about it for, you know, literally hours, literally days. You know, if you got together with people for reminiscing about LT, you could talk about it all weekend, you know. But literally on the way in here this morning, because I was like, God, what do you want me to say? You know, I mean, help me hone in on what you want me to say. And thanks. And I'm just walking in from the van. I realized one of the things I struggle with as a Christian is finding the balance between intimacy with God and community with other Christians. Because it seems like our Christian culture a lot of times really emphasizes conferences and retreats, being with other believers, which I think is super important. But sometimes you can kind of lose that sense of real intimacy with God in there, where it's you and Him, totally just living for an audience of one. Does that make sense? Because you're, a lot of times as Christians, we tend to kind of look around more than we look up. And I think LT is just an amazing opportunity to learn to find balance with both, because both are very important in the Christian experience. But our humanity always kind of goes toward one or the other. And I think that we're such communal people. And there's so many, 53 verses in the Bible that talk about one another. Do this with one another. Do that with one another. And that is very important. But I think equally important, and I don't know how many verses there are about this, it's just the principle of community with God and just being with Him and living for Him and living out the one another verses out of our heart for Him and out of our intimacy with Him. So, I don't know. I went to LT as a student. I actually was, I had just walked in graduation, but wasn't quite done yet, in LT 96. And I went there with the thought of perhaps going on staff. So I was kind of feeling LT out to see if it was something that I would want to work with these students full time. And I did, went on staff in 97. LT 97, I was raising support, and then I went to LT 98, 99, 2000. 2001 was in Blacksburg, and then 2002 and 2003, we didn't go because Sam was born. And then 2003, we went. 2004, Sam had just been born, so we didn't go. And then last year. So I don't know how many that is, but that's a lot. And I mean, I always wanted to go because once you go to LT, you see how life-changing it is, and you just you kind of get a hunger to go back, you know. And LT isn't something you want to, like, twist people's arms to have to want to go to. It's just something you just want to tell them, like, it's just amazing. It's life-changing. And so give it a shot and just see what God does. And, yeah, and I guess just two little examples, little visuals I had about the whole tension between community and intimacy with God. This is a mug from Benjamin's Bagel in Surfside, South Carolina. South Carolina. And this is a coffee shop there where you can go and get a bagel and a cup of coffee. And if you buy the mug, you get 10 cents off or whatever. And I was there probably 3-4 times a week all summer in the morning. And this is where I went to meet with God. And you would see a few other people here and there, but it was kind of like we were all in the zone. Like you walk in, and even if you see someone else that's from LT, you know that they're with God. And so you kind of leave them be and you go find your table in the corner. And it just really was a place that for me, I found connection with him just amazingly. And it's funny, in the stressed out times with the boys, when it's ultra chaotic and I need to go to my happy place in my mind, I go here to Benjamin's Bagel and I'm sitting at a table and I'm reading my Bible and writing in my journal. And because that time in my life was so intimate with God. It just, you don't get that back once you have children. I mean, not that you don't get it back, but it's very different when you have a husband and children. And it just changes. Life changes. And to go to LT as a student when you don't have those responsibilities yet, you just build those memories that are going to last you for the rest of your life. And you can hold on to those when life is chaotic later. Does that make sense? So the intimacy part, hopefully this won't fall off and break, is this pillow. And I actually climbed into my attic this morning. This is already packed away in a box in our attic. And I climbed up there while the boys were watching a video this morning and cut the box open and yanked this out. This is a pillow that some of the girls I lived with at LT96, it was 10 girls, 3 bedrooms. I actually got to sleep in a king-size bed that summer. I don't know how I got the good deal on that. But so that it was, there are 9 squares in here. So I got a square, maybe there were 9 girls. Yeah, I think there were 9 in the house. But anyway, there's a square for each of us. And I won't go through it, but each one of these patterns represents something about each of our personalities. And 2 of the girls in the house made these for each of us that summer. And this is just kind of a representation to me of just the connection we had with each other and the community. And I'm still in touch with most of the girls that I lived with that summer. And, you know, we're all married now, but I think most of us, almost all of us, and we all kind of have families of our own, but we always kind of, I don't know, I can always look back at that summer and know that was the summer that God really grabbed my heart. That was the summer he said, I want you to be mine and focus on me for the rest of your life, no matter what circumstances you're in. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, I just want to cry. I don't know. LT is just so special. Like, you just can't put words to it. And it's going to be a little different for everyone. And Wilmington, with being a new location this summer, will maybe have a different feel than Myrtle Beach did. I don't know. But I think something about even being at the ocean, being where it's just the awesomeness of God is so readily evident. I think there's really something to that too. And I mean, obviously we'd spend a lot of time at the beach, walking on the beach and praying. And I read Tozer, Pursuit of God, that summer. And, you know, just kind of walking on the beach, reading a book like that, it's like, whoa, you know, deep. So, I mean, no one wants to twist anyone's arm to go to LT, but I just, you know, if you have any questions about it, it's definitely a commitment. It's definitely a sacrifice, but more than that, it's an investment into your walk with God and into just your knowledge of him and your heart for him. So I guess that's about it.
I didn't touch anything. But anyway, like, just to talk real quickly, maybe, about some values that have been instilled in my life and our life through LT, just valuing God's word. When I was in Colorado, there was a pastor there who just really taught me the value of memorizing God's word and its place in my life. Community and teamwork, it's just, you know, something that you really learn to value. Character and trials and the trials and difficulties of life, their role in shaping your character. Financial stewardship, a hard work ethic, your job that you have at LT is very much a part of kind of what God's doing in your life. Kind of a broader view of leadership, like we talked about before, that you can be a leader for God no matter what you do. If you're in the church or out of the church, it doesn't matter. And a great commission way of life. And, you know, Jesus, the Great Commission is where Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, and kind of an evangelistic missionary kind of viewing yourself as a missionary for God no matter what you do. No, you don't have to be in Africa, but you can be working at McAdoo's and influencing people. You can be working for the police department or at the Gap. You know, talk with Jesse a lot lately. He's been people asking him a lot of questions at work. And, so, yeah, just to wrap up, you know, we talk a lot about LT, especially this time of year, and sometimes maybe you can feel like we're pushing you or that we're trying to sell cars or something, but certainly not our intention. We just want you to do what God wants you to do, and oftentimes that's not LT, certainly. But it's such a great thing. We want to do everything we can to help you figure it out. And I just want to take a chance to let you know about some of the experiences I've had at LT over the years. And, you know, because oftentimes we really need help and encouragement to do something like this, you know, because we want something comfortable in our life, and we just need to, most of us just kind of left to ourselves won't take a risk, whether it's LT or anything else in our life. We need folks to help us. And, you know, LT may not be for everyone this summer, but if you do decide to go this summer to Wilmington, unless you are an exception to the rule, you're going to leave LT with permanent life change, more equipped to follow Jesus and be a leader in your entire life. And so I encourage you, you know, don't brush this aside too quickly. Give it some serious thought and some prayer. In a few minutes, Steve's going to come up and he's going to kind of help us work through a covenant that we're asking like you to make with each other, just as you go about how to make your decision. And so just want to remind you, like I was saying at the beginning, you know, whether you realize it or not, you're a part of something very special here, whether you go to LT or not, just being a part of NLCF. It might be a small campus church, but it's packed with so much potential for good because it's filled with Jesus' life. It's a small outpost of something bigger than you will ever know called the Kingdom of God. And you know, just this little community will be that much better next fall if we send a good group of you to LT in Wilmington this summer. So Steve's going to come up. I'm going to just take a minute and pray. Lord, we love you and thank you so much for this day and for each person who's here, Lord, that we could gather together. And Lord, you say where two or more are gathered in your name, you're there with us. And so, God, I pray you'd help us to know that you're here with us right now. And Lord, as we just continue to be with each other this morning, talking with each other, or even thinking about something like what we're going to do for our summer, Lord, that we really have a clear sense of your presence in our life. Whether or not you lead us to go to LT, Lord, that we'd have a clear sense of your intentions for our life, Lord, and what you want to accomplish in our life this summer. Lord, we love you, and just thank you for how much you care for us. And thank you for just the kind intention of your will towards us, Lord. I pray you'd open our eyes up to that more and more. Lord, we love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There you go, boss.
It's so funny using a microphone for like 13 of us here, but it's cool. Yeah, y'all gonna have to excuse me. I'm a little nasally this week. I had a sinus infection and I was laid out for a couple of days. Yeah, it's not contagious or anything, so you'll just have to work with me here. But yeah, some of us were last Sunday night. Some of us we had to get together in a meeting and we talked about a covenant for LT and what that represents, and we just want to kind of express that again here today. And just, I guess, to explain a covenant, that's not a word that we really use a lot, but it is something that we see every day. When I think covenant, I think of, like, Old Testament Abraham or something like that, but really a covenant is a promise, you know, that you make with somebody. And it's kind of like getting married. Like, Ryan used the analogy of a wedding and how it's saying that I'm going to be with you until death do us part, and I will serve you and honor you and be everything that you need me to be. And so, and how a representation of that is a wedding band, you know, like in May, me and Amy are going to get married, we're going to make this covenant, we're going to have wedding rings, we're actually getting ready to go shopping here soon, and Joy, are you feeling bad too? Yeah. Sorry to point you out, but I feel you. So anyway, and Ryan was like, well, I really want to give y'all something to, like, when you look at it, you're like, oh, wow, yeah, this is the promise that we're kind of making with each other. And so this is going to seem really cheesy, but it's good. So I would like everybody to grab out of here a wristband. If you're really fashionable and you want one to match, you know, maybe several different things, you can grab two. They say funny things on them. Now, it's Walmart's finest here. Mine says my bad on it. I think there's like peace out and chill out. Chillax is on one, which is weird because you really don't see that in a lot of places. But, you know, like when you, you know, it's like when you're married and you look at your wedding band, you're like, oh, this is a reminder that I'm married and like I've made a promise to, you know, one day it's like, this is my promise to Amy that we're I'm going to like be faithful and we're going to like stick through it together. Well, we want this wristband to be a representation of the covenant that we're going to make with you. And you're like, well, Steve, what is this covenant? Well, let me tell you. No, don't. Left. Other left. Oh, I got it. Okay. So our covenant together. Okay. I would like you all to write these down. There's a, on the inside of your program, there's a our covenant together, 1, 2, 3 kind of thing. Well, this is the first part of the covenant that we would like you to make about LT. You know, see, we like we were saying, we don't want you to be, we don't want to force anybody. We're not going to like twist your arms. But we do want you to really seek out God's best. You know, what does he have in store for your life? And is LT a part of that? And the first one is that you would consider your summer as not your own, but as God's. And this isn't like, you know, NLCF is trying to take away your summer and your plans and what you're doing. But we want you to be able to consider like your summer as well as like your entire life and everything wrapped up into that as God's. You know, he really has a plan for your life and he wants to see some amazing things to happen. And we would like you all to ask God, you know, Lord, how should I spend my summer? What is it that you would want me to do? Do you want me to go back home? Do you want me to jump ship, go to Africa and eat cheese? Or do you want me to go to LT? You know, there's like different options, you know. Okay, not many people probably do that. But anyway, so yeah, this is the first part of our covenant together. Y'all got that? Yes? No? It was random. Mangoes. Mangoes and cheese. Okay, the second one. Is that you would actually seek out a trusted counselor, someone who can give you straight, honest, godly advice. You know, one of the things is that comes along with making decisions is that you actually, you know, you go and you seek out wisdom from other people. And we don't want it just to be like any random person, like you walk up to the woman who swipes your card at Dalton and be like, hey, do you think I should go to LT this summer, go to Wilmington? You think that's what God wants me to do? Maybe you're really tight with her. I don't know. Barbara, she's really cool. But, you know, go to somebody that you really trust who can give you like straight godly advice and say, hey, you know, this is something that has been brought to the table for me. What do you think I should do? And even pray with them about that. I think that would be good. So y'all got that? Good? Great. Great. Wonderful. All right. And the third one is that you would evaluate what God really wants to do in your life and ask the question, would me going back home provide the right atmosphere for that? You know, it's like God really wants to do a lot in your life, just as like Todd and Elizabeth were saying. Hey, Elliot. What's up, buddy? And it's just, it's a pretty amazing plan if you think about it. You know, we might not really know what God wants to do in our lives, but we know that he wants to use us for his goodwill. You know, Jesus calls us all to be a part of the Great Commission. And what's going to be the best atmosphere that is going to build that kind of character in you? Is it going to be going back home or is it going to be going LT? So, you know, these things, and here you go. There's all three of them. But this covenant, you know, we're just asking that you all would make this with us. And our part is that we will back you in the decision that you make. You know, we don't want to twist arms, but we do want to encourage you to seek out exactly what it is that God wants to do in your life. I know a lot of you are considering it. Maybe some of you even said no. But we're just asking that you would take this and up till about spring break, really just kind of go with these three things. You know, we want you to ask, you know, God, how should I spend my summer? Consider it God's summer. That you would get advice from a trusted counselor and that you would look to see what God really wants to do in your life and see if what atmosphere is going to foster that and if LT is going to be a part of that for you. So, yeah, if you guys have any questions about this, it's feel free to ask me later. But let the wristband, every time you think about it, be like, okay, well, this is the promise I'm making, and really take that as an opportunity to seek God. So, cool. Thanks, y'all. Now is the time that we'll take up the since I'm the general announcement guy. Now is the time we're going to take up the offering. Tell you what, Matt, if you just want to pass the band bowl around, and if y'all just, you know, feel free to fill out your welcome cards. If you got any prayer requests on there, we'll definitely be praying for you. Grab another wristband or two if you want one. And, yeah, the band will be up here in a second.
Thanks. Thank you, General Announcement. We will follow your marching orders. Oh, Alt-Tab.